It's All Songs Considered from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton. And on this episode of the program, we've got a conversation with the rapper Goldlink. Earlier this summer, he dropped his second full-length album called Diaspora. NPR Music's Sydney Madden recently talked with him about the project, the global reach of his music, how his sound has evolved, and much more. Goldlink spoke to us from the BBC in London, where he's been staying, and Sydney was here at NPR Studios in Washington, D.C.
Goldlink is never satisfied with one sound. The Washington, D.C. rapper created a dedicated online community during his mixtape days by weaving together go-go, house, R&B, and boom bap.
She see money all around me. I look like I'm the man. Yeah, but I was down and out like last week. Tell me, where have you been?
His 2016 single Crew, featuring Shy Glizzy and Brent Faiyaz, earned the rapper a Grammy nomination. And it became a contemporary anthem for a city. Now he's going global.
Push up your bra to the left, that's right. Now we in a car with a broke brake light. Thinking about the ass, the leg, the hint, the sex, the whip, the figure for leg, like then we dip out.
You say, wanna party all day. You say, need it, love it, from me.
His latest album, Diaspora, blends together Afrobeat, juju, bossa nova, reggae, and so much more. It's all to create what Goldlink says is the decentralized future of music. Joining me from the BBC in London is Goldlink.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing? Congratulations on your album.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I'm doing well.
Your last project, 2017's At What Cost, it was very tied to a sense of place, that place being DC. Now, 2019, you've zoomed out. And you hear that right off the bat with one of the album's lead singles, Zulu Screams. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Right. Feeling like a brand new me and an entourage with the latest beat. And the sun don't shine with the gangsters beat. And we rushing roulette to a game of three. Part one, part two, part three, part four. And the sun don't shine, running yo no more. And the girls say, yeah, ain't no more. And we richer than the rich, we ain't poor no more. Huh. I ain't been back in a minute, that's crazy. I ain't seen you around, no car, don't page me. Pull up on your block and you ever try to fade me. Calm down, all good, baby, it's crazy. I ain't been back in a minute, that's crazy. I ain't seen you around, no car, don't page me. Pull up on your back, don't you ever try to fade me. Calm down, all good, baby, it's crazy.
Zulu Screams, it starts off with this chant that hits you over the head right away, and then it goes into a nimble guitar, kind of like Nigerian instrumentalist King Sunny Ade. Why start off with the chants?
That's a good question, actually. Like, because it was like a collective effort. So P2J, you know, who predominantly worked on the beat, he was the guy who decided to, you know, make it that way. It's actually something that he had for a while, just laying around. Yeah, so that's how that kind of came together, and he just kind of called it that. He worked on it with this Congolese artist who does like a lot of the chants like towards the end of it. So that's kind of how that kind of happened. That was kind of more like a creative decision. But as far as like the nimbleness of the flow, I decided not to like fight it. You know, I never tried to like attack it. Like a typical record, I tried to like ride alongside the record.
If you know what you know.
Just to go a little bit again macro, what are some of the experiences you had between 2017 and 2019 that inspired like a sonic evolution?
I think it was just more so just being able to be exposed to more things, you know, just actually having the opportunity to travel and actually having the opportunity to spend time in different places instead of coming in and out and actually spend time with people and have real conversation was like one of the more dramatic differences that I had, you know, making music, which was like, which allowed me to do that because of the 2017 success.
Where somewhere you traveled that really stuck with you?
Amsterdam, surprisingly, just because they actually have a strong black community there. I met a lot of dudes through the Daily Paper guys who like work out of Amsterdam. And a lot of them are from like, you know, like one guy's from London and stuff like that. They're like from all over. Meeting them, I met other black people. And then we kind of had like a discussion about the black community and where we're actually from, and you know, things like that, and it kind of gave me more insight about the community and then just kind of hanging with other black people there.
What did you hear there? What are some sounds that really got you?
It wasn't like I was looking for music. I was just looking for information. The music is whatever, like that comes kind of from within. It was more so just like the realization of this bridge and this culture bridge and being black and just having conversations more so inspired it. Opposed to just me hearing something, be like, I want to try this.
What do you mean by the bridge?
the lack of, more so like there's a lack of bridge, like there isn't a bridge that's kind of connecting us and telling us that we're all similar. I thought that that was a very obvious bridge, but it's not as obvious as you think. You know, like people in, black people in Amsterdam or Aboriginal people from Australia or black people from DC, we don't know that we all have the same upbringing, that maybe all of our aunts have plastic on their couches, or maybe we all, you know, have that grandma in the neighborhood, you know, like that actually happens everywhere. It's not just special just for one place or one culture.
The universal black experience?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, as I said, it feels very global and local at the same time, but it also feels futuristic.
Yeah.
Why was that important for you?
You know, I'm not sure. I've always been ahead of the curve just because I'm always able to see things a little bit further than the average person. I just felt like if I had to make an estimate, I felt like that's where music was going to go, is what diaspora was. So I kind of just created what I thought the momentum would be in my head in the next 2 years.
Poppin' willies, got niggas up in the six. Connected to the border, they let me snuggle my sticks. Through the bump, then Caddy and me, unworthy, just click. I live a life like Michael and keep it purple like Prince. Keep like seven with me, got niggas calling me Vic.
Once you had all of these experiences, conversations, walking around, discoveries, how did you collect all of that? How did you collect all the various sounds onto the album?
At the end of the day, I made sure that anything that I did was felt right to me. You know, that was the one thing. So everything kind of came through a system of myself. You know, I'm very much DC. I'm very, you know, black. I'm very so many, you know, I am what I am. So I kind of just took it and kind of interpreted things the way that I would hear it or the way that I felt about it. And I think, you know, that's kind of how I created it.
It's really interesting that you named the album Diaspora, because it can mean so many different things to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one common thread is tension. Diasporic people have to learn to maneuver with this tension.
Right.
And you can hear that on a few of the tracks. There's a tension between the lyrics and the production, and it feels like it's kind of a metaphor. Let's play Maniac.
Let a nigga move one time and it's right. Creep on that beat when I rap, it gon' slide. Got the whole DMV on my side. Treated with bitches who slide on my line. The way that a man hold team like a band OG with a pen trying to smash the band. I can escape and break the glass to hand. Y'all niggas going ghost to pack the men. Shooting at a clickety clack. The fact is, word around is, it don't matter. To the paper, rub a head on the silver platter. My goons will catch ya, don't ask no questions. When we in the zone, it's pure reaction. Shawty hella thick and got an accent. Might have to whip and whip and gas it. No time for it, so I lean. I get lean, lean, triple beans. With the blacked out seats to the top, top freak. I get cheese, cheddar, feta, chini. Jiggers up, you ain't never seen. I get windows tinted, candy, painted, engine, revving, gone. Little flip, I keep it pimping. I keep quite a distance from niggas, so stay on the draw.
How did you achieve this tension?
I think that probably comes from within. And I think also it comes from introspectiveness. I don't even know if that's a word, but the point is, like, kind of looking back, you know, at where I came from. I did a lot of that. I did a lot of self-reflecting and a lot of going backwards in order to make something this forward. So maybe that's kind of where the tension comes from.
And you talk about looking back. Let's talk about DC for a moment, where it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You hop around, you live in different places, but DC is still your home, correct?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been keeping up, but DC has become the fastest gentrifying city in America.
Yeah, it has.
And we're already seeing real world effects of that. For example, the Don't Mute DC movement. For those who don't know, it's a grassroots movement to preserve go-go music and DC culture, and it started earlier this year with a clash between locals and, let's say, the new residents. But since you've left DC and you've traveled so much, what have you learned about DC from being away from it?
Yeah, you know, I learned that whatever's happening in DC is kind of happening everywhere. Everybody has their thing. Everybody has their version of their city or their memories or their moments or their places, their spots, their own vernacular, their own way of dressing, their own way of thinking, just like DC does, you know. And everyone's kind of, and especially in black communities, you know, we're scared of losing a grip of that. And I feel like everybody's holding on to the little pieces that they have. And I think through such a twisted concept, it's bringing us much closer together.
When you say bringing us closer together, who you mean?
You know, like black people.
Internationally?
Yeah, like globally.
It's kind of like black people are black people are black people everywhere.
Yeah.
There's things that unite us all. And now that it's been out in the world and you've lived with it and it's breathed beyond your immediate crew, what are you seeing as your measure of success for this album?
I think the way that I'm looking at it is how it's affecting the people that it was intended for, which is not just black people. This wasn't intended to make just for black people. It was actually intended for anybody who's isolated more so, but it just connected with the people, with my own people, you know? So that's kind of how I measure the success is like, it's a lot more people that look like me coming up to me telling me that this is their favorite thing and it resonated with them and they're a massive fan of it. Today, someone stops me and grabs my hand and tells me how massive of a fan he is and how great the album is and keep going, and he's going to see me in November because I have a show in London.
Another big signifier is the variety of features on it. You got Jay Prince, you got Bebe Rexha, Pusha T, Tyler. But one of the collabs that really stuck out to me was Jackson Wang, who is K-pop artist, Hong Kong hailing rapper, and it's on the track Rumble. So let's hear a little bit of that, and then we're going to talk about it.
Outfits ripped and made in China on them tags. Team Wang on the beat, now bring them back. When I touch down, they go celebrate. When I tie by, bye-bye, triple A. Time I show up, go dread, now rubber band. Rubber band, double G-shift. Play at the forum, I know I'm the one. Gave you respect to one, but I fear none. Casually, the booty, baby, you wear a bun. Journey to the west, I'm ready for the run.
With so much of the conversation around this album being around the black experience and the African-American diaspora, why reach all the way over to Asia?
Like, well, he's a homie of mine. I met him at a party, and he's like a big, 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 big fan. You know, I didn't know how big of a deal he was. And then, you know, we met. I just liked him a lot. He's such a good guy. And then, you know, we hit it off. I was like, why not? Because like I was saying, it's not just focused on black. Like, I'm a black guy, so naturally, I'm going to do things for my community, yeah? But diaspora means so many things. Like, even when I looked up the definition, like, April of 2018, you know, I was like, it said something about the Jews dispersing to the outland, so like the outskirts of what the city would be. So it never really was applying to just one specific race. If you want to make a diaspora of things, then you have to reach to a diaspora of people.
What does diaspora mean to you right now?
I don't know. It means a lot of things. It doesn't mean just one thing, which is why I chose it in the first place. I'll say this, though. I'll say the one that sticks out to me the most is gentrification. And then the people on the other side of that. That's kind of what it means to me. Because every time I read the definition, no matter where or how I read it, it's basically, I'm just like, wow, I can relate to it. I remember when I lived in the city, you know, I go to my aunt's house, my uncle's house, go to the store. My uncle had a shop there. And then seeing foreclosed apartment buildings, you know what I'm saying? And then being like, okay. And then my mom and dad being like, yeah, we're moving to Maryland. And then my mom being like, you know, we're going to Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I see a lot of my friends in Maryland who I used to play ball with in D.C., you know, and then go to Virginia and you see a few more, you know, so that's kind of what it means to me.
You said you've always felt a little ahead of the curve and you know where music is going. Where do you feel like it's going?
You know, I think that it's going to be just less dumb and a little more intelligent, a little more grounded than it was before. I think that we're going into a more, like a different space where the more musical and the more like caring you are about what you do is going to just start to just be more prominent. And it's always been like that through time. So I think it's just like the newer sound is just going to be like a conglomerate of international sounds. Like this kid, Santi, he's from Nigeria. You would never think he was from Nigeria if I didn't tell you if you heard his music, because he has so many different influences and so many different sounds that he's perfected with each song. It's just resonating with the new culture.
Feeling you wanna that get sparky. Antigua with the darky. My goose got back that get sparky. Antigua with the RP. Don't sip back up by that parsley. Antigua with the RP. My goose got back that get sparky.
I think it's gonna be more people like Asante that's gonna start championing, you know, more so than people who are kind of making things that are very cookie cutter that kind of fit into what's already working.
Mm-hmm.
Going to hear like a little less of that.
When you work it within like that cookie cutter model, like you know what's going to be on the radio, you know what's going to make a hit. It's pretty safe and it's easy to get comfortable there.
Right. And you also know the result of it. So you know exactly what you're getting every time. You're never going to get an element of surprise when you keep making the same thing.
Who are some other artists that you can think of that are really starting to push this? Like you said, Santi.
Tyler, for sure, the creator, because he always challenges himself, no matter what you think about it. That's what makes him a great artist. Kanye's done it for years. Daniel Caesar just did it. You know, he keeps pushing that boundary. Her does the same thing. And these are people that don't ever make it safe for themselves. They always make it risky for themselves, and they succeed tremendously every time. So, you know, it's people like that that are really pushing this thing forward. And when they do it, everyone follows suit. Every time we do it, everyone decides to do it.
The change makers. Yeah.
Yep.
You talked about things that are not safe and not comfortable. You know the metric of how, where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It's the surprises that get you in that movie. What's surprising on the album, on this album?
I'm just going to say yard.
Yeah, it's my yard, get the fuck out my yard. DC, man, and baby, know I go hard. Look, Southwest niggas make the gun spark. I say I love her cause I say it from the heart. Ass that wanna taste, I let God. Gold link is a black work of art. I don't need no friends in my life. I don't need no girl that get high, huh? I just need a boat and a tan. And a black girl with a 5-year plan. Who's in school with a kid trying to be the best she can. And she drive a good kid, mad city minivan, look.
No bad vibe could I enter my yard. No bad vibe could I enter my yard, no. No bad vibe could I enter my yard. Enter my yard, enter my yard. No bad vibe could I enter my
yard. Yard is like such a surprising song because it's resonating with so many different people. I think that one's kind of crazy to me.
And how do you see it resonating already?
It just seems like people know the song longer than I've known it. That's why I know it resonates. They sing it like better than me. You know, I did one installation for the show in London. You know, that song just erupted the roof off the building that we had to stop it and start it over.
And as you said, DC will always be your home. What is there specifically about DC on the album?
There's a lot of it. It's like it's sprinkled throughout the album. But the main thing is Lil Nye, who's on Rumble. You know, having a DC artist add his own thing to it was like very important for me.
That's the sound of the ride, now parking the back tires lift off. I break shit them drift off. Look now I'ma pick up back up like the fifth fall. Good cook make it drift off. Little bump this shit crunch, make it jump through the crisscross. Shoot for the hip dog.
Which track was the most difficult for you to make?
Spanish song. It took me the longest to write it. I had to find the inspiration. I had to find the pocket for it. We had to find the idea for it. It was like a conglomerate of us just trying to make it feel like something. You know what? Let's try to make it feel like it's a party the entire time. And I tried to write it almost imagery based. The story in my head was like a guy at a bar with his friends. Let's just say he's off work and he's going through things at his home. He sees this girl, like, you know, let's say he's him and five of his guys, and the guys are, you know, the four guys are just hollering at her. And, you know, he's a timid guy. He's kind of in the back. He's a little like strange, starts drinking a little bit and starts feeling himself and lets liquor kind of control where he decides to go.
I feel like crazy while sipping a goose. I feel invincible when I'm high on the roof. Entitled stream, entitled, I stream on the roof. But the rich is cool. Liquor got me loose. Stay out the way and I grew on my hill. My baby mama calling, talking about a man. For the latest baby and how she met a man. But tonight I'm in it, I win it, I guess. I got my nigga here with me, they looking for a new fan. And that girl with a daddy pension, no one a new man. And my partner talking to her, trying to hold on her hand. Then I see you in the cut, then I holler, do man. Who that? I want, I have, to have. For myself and everything else that I wanted this year. And I mean it, I'm sincere, this ain't no liquor for real. But you still find they need like 50,000 mirrors
she
in here.
She got me like, ooh, don't stop me like, ooh, I got me like, ooh.
I picked a few tracks today. Do you have a specific track you want to talk about?
Coke White with Pusha T. It's one of the best rap verses of the year.
Coke White Spider, Coke White Rover, Coke White, no bacon soda. Park a half a million on the curb just to show you. You can be the mayor when the whole city owe you. We bodied like them no limit soldiers. This ice cream man kilos go for lower. The luggage is the new collab duffel by Ramoa. The leather shoulder straps makes it easier for chauffeurs. The PJs for six. You better hope one is not your bitch. And drug dealers never been her niche. We compare risk by the watch complication. We compare rich by who's more ostentatious. Diamonds line up, make a star constellation. And never talk numbers via phone conversations. I mix and match them.
What Pusha said was like, he gave you an entire scenario. Like he laid the foundation for the song before the song actually begins. And I kind of just came back and just kind of finished. It was such a reflective track. I think that's why I enjoy it so much.
And it's really clear through this conversation, through listening to the album, through knowing your music for years now, that you you make good use of your inspirations. So who or what are you currently inspired by?
Yeah, right now I'm inspiring myself. You know, because now that I've removed myself completely, there's nothing I can really do about the record. Now it's out into the world. I listen to it from a consumer standpoint, I'm actually like blown away and very proud, you know, of the product, and it's very inspiring.
So what do you have planned next to inspire yourself?
I just wait for it. I'm not really in a rush.
Okay.
It's been, you know.
All right. DMV's finest, the pride of DC, Goldlink. Thank you for talking with us from the UK.
Thanks for having me.